This is Alive with Joseph.
God has a word for us this morning. I really want us to, you know, be focused and receive what the Lord has for us. Amen. We're looking at rule your enemies by light. I'm going to pick it up from where I left it on Friday. This is number 3, rule your enemies by light. The revelation of who you are is rooted in the revelation of Jesus. The revelation of who you are is rooted in the revelation of Jesus. When you get a revelation of who Jesus is, you're able to get a revelation of who you are. Now, on that note, I want you to boldly declare, say, I am the image of God. Thunder, I am the image of God. By righteousness, I am a member of the royal class. Therefore, I live in Jesus. Jesus lives in me. God and Jesus lives in me. I live in God and I live in Jesus. What cannot affect God cannot affect me, because I and my heavenly Father are one. If you believe it, say amen. Give the Lord your praise. Hallelujah. So this revelation is what puts you over. It is what produces harvest of answers. It is what produces testimonies in your life. That is to say, you cannot get to the place of rulership without this revelation. You cannot get to the place where you rule over the circumstances of life, where you rule over the affairs of life, where you rule over the challenges of life without this revelation. It is this revelation that forms the basis for you to rule and reign. This revelation forms the basis for you to dominate here on the planet Earth. This revelation forms the basis. That is to say, the foundation for dominion in Christ is on this revelation. You cannot dominate without this revelation. And I pray for you in this season. Let the mantle to dominate rest upon you in the name of Jesus. I prophesy over you, whatever used to dominate you before now loses its power over you in the name of Jesus. Can I get your loudest amen? Let's read Psalm 82 verse 5. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. That is, the outcome of not knowing is walking in darkness. They know not. The resultant effect of not knowing is that they began to walk on in darkness. That is to say, friends, a man that doesn't know, a woman that doesn't know, will end up walking in darkness. That is, the ignorance of who you are, the ignorance of the provisions of redemption, keeps you in darkness. What keeps a person in darkness is the ignorance of who they are, the ignorance of the provisions of redemption. It keeps them in darkness. A man that is in darkness will be out of course, according to this scripture. He said, all the foundations, not some, all the foundations are out of course. Why? A man or a woman that is in ignorance will be out of course. Why? Because it is in darkness that Satan rules. It's in darkness. When you're in darkness, you're out of course. Why? You don't know. The reason you are in darkness and the reason the person is out of course, it is not because the devil is powerful. It is simply because they do not know. So when the believer is walking in darkness, the believer will be out of course. When you walk in darkness, the outcome of walking in darkness is that the foundations will be out of course. The servants, the Bible say, are riding on horses. The wicked is prospering and the righteous is suffering. Why is the righteous suffering? Because the foundation is out of course. What made the foundation out of course is simply because the righteous does not know. Ignorance makes the foundation out of course. And when the foundation is out of course, the resultant effect will be that the righteous will suffer the things they ought not to suffer. The righteous will suffer the things they ought not to suffer. The the righteous not prospering is not because the devil is powerful. The righteous not prospering is because the righteous does not know the provisions of redemption that is available to him in area of his prosperity. When the righteous doesn't know, the righteous will suffer. The reason the righteous is not prospering the way they ought to is simply because they know not. And as a result, they walk on in the darkness of poverty. They walk on in the darkness of lack. They walk on in the darkness of deprivation. They walk on in the darkness of failure. They walk on in the darkness of lack. They walk on in the darkness of unending battles. The reason is they know not. That is to say, what you can do when you do not know is to acquire light. When you don't know, you walk in darkness. When you walk in darkness, you are not able to enjoy the provisions that scriptures and redemption has made available to you. And I pray for you this morning, as your amen will thunder, let the light of God shine over your life in the name of Jesus. I say, let the light of God shine over your life in the name of Jesus. What you don't know, let light come for you to know in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, give the Lord your praise this morning. Go ahead and celebrate the Lord this morning. So what do you do to help a man that is in ignorance? What do you do to help a woman that is in ignorance? What you do is you invite them into light. You invite them into light, because if you pray for someone who is in ignorance, who is in darkness, you'll be wasting your time. Listen, friends, the greatest gift you can give to anyone whose foundation is out of course is to bring them into light, to bring them into 21 days like this. You bring them as they sit under the heavy dosage of light, as they sit under the heavy dosage of God's word. Before you know what is happening, light floods into those areas of darkness. By the time 21 days is over, the same person will have moved so far that even the enemy will not be able to understand them. Why? Because when light shines, darkness vacates. When light shines, whatever used to hold you will cease to hold you. When light shines, whatever used to keep you will not be able to keep you. And I pray for you, let the light of the glorious gospel shine in your heart in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like thunder. So that is what you do for a one who is in darkness. Bring them under the anointing of the word and let light shine. Listen, friends, there is no amount of prayer that can help a person that is in darkness. Why? Because if you're praying for someone who is in darkness, the prayer will not go far. Why? Because they are in darkness, they will not have faith to receive what is available. When you pray for someone who is in darkness, that by the time they go, they will return back again with the same story. Why? Because if you are not in light and someone prays, the prayer will not have the kind of effect it ought to have. That is why in this season, when anyone comes to me to pray for it, sit under the word first. Sit. Because the more you sit, the more light comes. The more light comes. By the time 21 days is over, you will even discover that I don't need pastor to pray for me again. Why? Because light has entered. What used to trouble me no longer has the power to hold me down again. I prophesy, receive light in the name of Jesus. I say, receive light in the name of Jesus. So when someone is in darkness, you introduce light to them. You introduce light to them. Introduce light to them, because light is what cancels darkness. Introduce them to the revelation of God's word. The man that is in darkness, his foundation is out of course. And we know, friends, that the devil is the ruler of the darkness of this world. He rules in darkness. So when a person is in darkness, Satan is the ruler over that person. When Satan rules, he can only rule those who are in darkness. And what are the symptoms of darkness? Because how do I know that I'm in darkness? How do I know that there is darkness hovering all over me? Let me give you the symptoms of darkness. Symptoms of darkness is unending sickness. Symptoms of darkness, poverty, failure, lack, untimely death, stagnation, disappointment, merry-go-round, near-success syndrome, frustration, embarrassment, shame, reproach, all of these and many more. They are the symptoms of darkness. Actually, let me put it this way. Anything that is anti-scripture, anti-redemption, they are symptoms of darkness. Symptoms of darkness. And all these symptoms are manifested in the life of anyone who is in darkness. Because friends, these things, listen, when a man is in light, even when sickness attacks, sickness will have to go. Why? Because the light will not allow the sickness to settle. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. Put on the screen for us. Let's read together Ephesians 4 17. It says, let's read. Okay. At the count of three, everyone in the building, shall we all read together? One, two, three, go. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, this is a comparison going on here. The Apostle Paul is having a comparison between believers and unbelievers. Now, he said, how do we know a Gentile? He said, we know a Gentile, we know an unbeliever with the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind. Then verse 18. Let's read verse 18 together, everyone. Verse 18. Is it on the screen? Let's go. One, two, three, go. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. A Gentile is where? In darkness. How is a Gentile is in darkness? Because of the vanity of their mind. Then it comes down to a believer. A believer is in darkness. Why is this believer in darkness? Because they have alienated themselves from the life of God. How did that happen? He said they alienated themselves from the light of God by ignorance. By ignorance, they alienated themselves from the light of God. By ignorance, that is to say, without ignorance, they will have had access to the light of God, because light is life. Light is life. So the ignorance that is in them has blinded their hearts. A child of God who is ignorant is in darkness. So that is why you see sometimes a Christian is having the same symptoms or the same manifestation like an unbeliever. They are having the same results. An unbeliever is afraid of darkness. A believer is also afraid of darkness. An unbeliever is being molested by witches, molested by devils. A believer is also being molested by devils. Why? Because both of them, they are in darkness via ignorance. The unbeliever, the vanity of their mind. The believer, they've been alienated because of darkness. As a result, they are having the same result. Why? Because anyone who is in darkness must of surety have that result, even if they're a Christian. Give the Lord your praise this morning. So the unbeliever man is in darkness. The unbeliever man cannot sleep in the night. The believer man also cannot sleep in the night. The Christian is in darkness. They are all under the same ruler of darkness. So a Christian is afflicted by devils. Unbeliever afflicted by devils. A non-believer cannot sleep without, you know, cannot sleep with the lights off because they are afraid of darkness. A believer, the same thing. A believer, the same thing. A Christian can't go to bed without being afraid. A non-believer, the same thing. The only difference is this other Christian speaks in tongues. The other unbeliever doesn't speak in tongues, but they're all having the same experiences. The only difference is the unbeliever doesn't go to church. The Christian goes to church. But when you check their experiences, it's the same. Why? Because the believer is in darkness where the unbeliever is. Friends, ignorance is very wicked. The greatest undoing of any child of God is ignorance. Lack of understanding. Lack of light. Lack of understanding. And I pray for you today that light will shine in your heart. Understanding will come to you in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, the same verse 18. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Their heart is blind. So until we know God through faith in Christ and begin to obey his word, we will stay in darkness. We will reason in darkness. We will remain in darkness. We will operate in darkness. We will have that results of darkness. So this is it. Because the heart is darkened, what happens is they reason in darkness. And when you reason in darkness, any believer who reasons in darkness, they will remain in darkness. And when they remain in darkness, their operations will flow from darkness. Why? Because they are not in light. There are many believers who are reasoning in darkness. As a result, they dwell in darkness. As a result, their operations is flowing from darkness. Nothing changes. Why? Because they're in darkness. Darkness is a lack of revelation. When revelation comes, darkness disappears. I pray for you. Receive the revelation of God's word in the name of Jesus. I say receive the revelation of God's word in the name of Jesus. So we began to look at how do you access light. Number one, on Friday we saw how to access light. The number one way to access light is the entrance of his word. The entrance of his words give light. He gives light. Number two, let's go to number two. Number two, how do you access light? You access light by studying the word of God. You access light by studying the word of God. Why? Because you can be carrying a Bible and sleeping with it, and Satan is afflicting you with it. You don't access light by only owning a Bible. Owning a Bible is the number one step. Studying it is the next step. That is why you see there are some believers, they have Bible, they put it under their pillow and they sleep. By the time they wake up, Satan has afflicted them and the Bible is under their pillow. Why? Because Bible itself, the Bible said this is letter, the letter killeth. The Bible on its own does not give light. It is the study of the Bible that gives light. So you can own a fancy Bible. If you don't study, you won't get light. As fancy as your Bible may be, you can own it, and if you don't study, you won't get light. The problem also is there's even many who don't own a Bible at all. It will shock you. As some of you are here today, you have never at any point in your life bought a Bible. You've bought Brazilian wigs that have put pressure on your bank account. For the men, some men have a pair of jeans that is worth 10,000 rands, but they don't have a Bible of 200 rands. His pair of suits he bought from somewhere is about 20,000 rands, but he has no Bible. So there are some who don't even own one to begin with. But Pastor, I have Bible in my phone. No. Downloaded Bible. That one is even for free. It's for free. And you don't read it. Because each time you open it, your Facebook status updates will not allow you to go through it. So study. The letter killeth. So owning a Bible is the first step. Then the next thing, study the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6 tells us that the letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. That is, it is not enough to carry the Bible. There has to be a study. Listen, friends, don't just carry the Bible. Open the book. Study the book. Let this year be one year that you study the book, because light comes when you study. Light comes when you study. Until the book is open, the tears will continue. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, John the Beloved, he had a vision of the book closed. And in verse 4, the Bible said he wept so much. Why was he weeping? Because the book was closed. There was seal on the book. Now, when the book was opened, the tears was terminated. My friend, if you want tears to be terminated in your journey of life, open the book. Open the Bible. Study the Bible. Let light from the Bible flood into your heart. And when you open the book and light comes, I can guarantee you, whatever used to harass you will stop harassing you. Why? The light shines in darkness, and deep darkness cannot handle it. Give the Lord your praise this morning. The reason why we have too many believers who are being molested is because they are not opening the book. They are not opening the book. They are not opening the book so that they can know what is the heart of God for them. Know the mind of God for them. If you don't open the book, the tears will continue. Until the book is open, a person will continue to live in confusion. There has to be the opening of the book. And the opening of the book is what we call a studious life. A studious life. Why is it that many believers will be roaming around looking for who to prophesy to them? Why? Because they don't want to open the book. My friend, when you open the book, confusion will vacate. When you open the book, harassment will go. Why? Because in the book lies life. The Bible said to us, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, he said, study the scriptures, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the scriptures, study it. When you study it, shame vacates. When you study it, shame vacates. I pray for you today. Let the light of God's word shine. Every shame around you vacates in the name of Jesus. So he said to Timothy, the only way you can escape shame is by studying the word of God. He said, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly divided the word of truth. So if you turn it around, that means if you don't study, shame will come. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, all scriptures. Actually, when the Apostle Paul wrote this, there was no New Testament. So he was referring to the scroll. He was referring to the Old Testament. So he said, all scriptures is given. The reason for scriptures given is so that it can deliver profit in the area of doctrine. What do I mean? So that when you are establishing doctrine, you will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Somebody will not just wake up and tell you stop praying. Because you are establishing doctrine, you will pray. Why? Because by scriptures you are now established. He now said it is profitable and it instructs you in righteousness. It instructs you in your rights. Your rights. You are instructed in your rights by scriptures, by what study. You know what you have. You know what you can do. You know what is available. When you are instructed, my friend, you rule in the midst of your enemies. When you are instructed, you are able to possess. When you are instructed, you are able to take charge. So he said, the scriptures, they will instruct you in your rights. My friend, you have rights in Christ. You have rights. You have rights in Jesus. He now went further and said, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Salvation there is not talking about being born again only. It's the package of redemption. He said, by scriptures you are brought to the place of salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Are you getting me this morning? When you study, you are instructed in your rights. You know your rights. Many believers don't know their rights. Many don't know their rights. That's why anybody can confuse them. They don't know their rights. Imagine if you don't know your rights as a citizen of South Africa. You don't know your rights. Imagine if you don't know your rights. One thing I love about Americans. Americans, nobody knows their rights like Americans. You know, I'm not talking about the sense of entitlement. They are two different things. A sense of entitlement and knowing you're right. Americans know they're right. The first American, an American will tell you, I'm an American. Yeah. And so what? I'm an American. He said, I know my right. I know. Like, if you talk too much, my government will come to you now. I know my rights. I know who I am. I know who I know what I have. I know what I can do. So the scriptures instruct you in your rights. Some of us no longer study anymore. Listen, friends, this year, subscribe to study. Subscribe to a studious life. Acquire light for yourself. You cannot depend on another person's light. You cannot. How many of you drive with another person's headlamp in their car in the night? You'll depend on another person's headlamp to drive. You'll be in trouble. Because you can only enjoy to you. Listen. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Give Jesus praise, first of all. You know, when you drive with another man's headlamp, you only move as fast as they go. Isn't it? You can't overtake them. Why? Because where are you going to? Are you a queen? Where are you going to? Where are you? Because you don't have your own light. So where are you running to? So you are forced to follow them. If they are moving on a snail pace, you must move. Or else you will get into trouble. But when you have your own light, vroom, vroom, vroom. The person is slowing down. You jump, you move. Why? Because you have your own light. That is how Christianity is. When you have your own light, when someone else who doesn't have light or have light is slowing down in life, you collect. Listen, in this kingdom, overtaking is allowed. It is not how long you have been in the church. You can come into church today and by light you overtake the one who has been in the church for 20 years. Why? Because you have your own light. You are not depending on Pastor Joseph's light. You are not depending on Pastor C's light. You have your own light. By your own light, you take over. I pray for you this year. Receive light in the name of Jesus. Receive your own light in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. You can't depend on anyone's life. Acquire light for yourself. When you study the word is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Acts 20 verse 32. You will find it there. And we confess it every Sunday, every service. There is an inheritance for the sanctified. Declare, say, I have an inheritance. Declare loud and clear. Everyone online, declare, I have an inheritance. In the building, thunder, I have an inheritance. But you have to study the book to locate your inheritance. Jesus himself was a studious person. The Apostle Paul was also a studious man. Listen, friends, you can never have light until you give yourself to studying the Word of God. And if you don't own a Bible, go buy one. Go buy one. You can't own an expensive shoe and you don't own a Bible. It's an indictment to your destiny. If you can buy a shoe of 500 rand here, you must be able to own one Bible. Go buy one. We're told a story some time ago about Smith Wigglesworth, the apostle of faith who handed over the baton of faith to Brother Kenneth E. Hagin and now handed over to Bishop David Oyedepo, who is now functioning at that dimension of faith. They said, Smith Wigglesworth, most of you probably will know him. I don't know if they got his picture, but if they didn't, it's fine. They said, he walks around with, how many of you know the Gideon's Bible, the New Testament Gideon's Bible? Did you ever receive one? I got some when I was in school. You know, they said he will put it in his pocket. When it is time to eat, he brings it out and will read a chapter of the Bible before eating. So God help you. The day you're having dinner with Smith Wigglesworth, he's not reading Psalm 119. God help you. The day you're with him, he doesn't decide to read Psalm 1:1 because the danger with that Gideon's Bible, it has Psalms and Proverbs. So they say he pulls it out and we'll read. He said, his philosophy was, the soul, the flesh has no right to eat when the spirit has not eaten. So he brings it out and read first. Thank you so much. That's Brother Smith. Who goes? That explained why he commanded certain level of result. There was a time they said, you know, he was giving his testimony himself that there was a time where, you know, he was hearing noise in his living room. And he came out in the midnight, came out, and he saw it was the devil. He said, ah, so is you. He turned around. He said, when you finish, make sure you rearrange the chairs and close the door. And he went back to his room. You must function at a dimension of light to do that. When some believers can't even sleep with the light switched off. Because no light. My friend, it is time to acquire light. Number three, and I close you. How do I access light? Number three, if you're going to access light, you must go from study to meditation. From study to meditation. Psalm 119 verse 97 says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Because friends, the word of God is food. Jeremiah 15:16 tells us, he said, I found your word and I ate them. They are the rejoicing of my soul. I found it and I ate them. Jesus said in the Gospels, man shall not live by bread alone. When Satan came to tempt him, he said, turn these stones into bread. He looked at the devil and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father. What he was saying there is bread refers to natural food. So he was simply saying that he's not literally talking about bread in terms of literal form. He's simply saying man cannot live by natural things alone. That is to say, in the equation of your success, you must add to your natural abilities spiritual strength. So you, to your certificate, add spiritual strength. To your business proposals, well put together, add word that proceeds from the mouth of the Almighty God. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. That is to say, there's a dimension of success you cannot have without the proceeding word from the mouth of the Almighty God. So he said, adding to the bread, adding to your natural strength, your certificate. He said, you must add spiritual strength, add prayers, add word study, because when you combine them together, you become unbeatable in the race of life. Hallelujah. So what food is to the body is what the word of God is to our spirit. Listen, friends, when you eat in the physical and the food is not digested, it leads to constipation. So when you read the word of God, you study the word of God, you do not meditate, it can constipate you. It has to be digested. Meditation is your spiritual digestive system. Meditation, your spiritual digestive system is meditation. And one of the things that the enemy is stealing from our generation is meditation. We live in a generation where everybody is in a hurry. Everybody is in a hurry. Everybody is in a hurry. Hurrying to nowhere. But when you and I must come to the place, rather, where we slow down to meditate. Meditation is spiritual digestive system. Meditation is the process of taking the word of God, breaking it down into assimilable bits for the nourishment of your spirit man. I repeat, meditation. What is meditation? Meditation is the process of you taking the word of God, breaking it down into assimilable bits for the nourishment of your spirit man. That is, the word of God you do not meditate on, you cannot profit from it. It is the meditation that brings the profitability of the word of God into your life. To meditate is to think through the scriptures until light breaks forth Listen, you can take the scripture and reason out the scriptures. While you are reasoning the scriptures, the Holy Spirit broods upon you. He throws light on it. And when light comes alive, listen, friends, no devil in hell can fight against the solidity of the light that has come alive on your inside. I pray for you today. The battle you fought before now and you lost, I declare, after today, you shall return and you will gain victory in the name of Jesus. You will gain victory in the name of Jesus. I say you are gaining victory in the name of Jesus. Meditation. You must meditate, friends. The days of just browsing through scriptures are gone. Sit on the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Brood upon it. Think. Ponder it over and over. Over and over. Over and over. After a while, light will come. How do you meditate? How do you meditate? I've told you what meditation is. How do you meditate? Locate a corner where there's no distraction. In simple terms, stay away from a place of distraction. That's how you meditate. Are you getting me tonight, this morning? If you're getting me, give Jesus praise this morning. Locate a corner. You're not meditating and you're updating Facebook page. No, no, no. Locate a corner. That is why you must have this kind of Bible. So that as you want to meditate, you switch off your phone. Particularly in this season, we are fasting. Take your lunchtime hour. Let it become your meditation hour. Are you hearing me? Your lunchtime hour. Let it become your meditation time. Look for one corner. If they will disturb you in your office. You know, there are, you know, every time you notice that, every time you want to do something meaningful, the devil will always send people. People who have never visited your office before, that's when they will remember to come and knock their hands. For some reason, the devil will move them. For that reason, look, go to your car. If you don't have a car, enter toilet, my friend. God, meditate. Sit on it. But Pastor, what would I meditate on? During the morning prayers, I give plenty scriptures. During morning prayers, I give plenty scriptures. Take one of them. You don't need to. Just take one. Sit on it. Ponder over it. Think over it. Think over it. As you're doing that, before you know, the Holy Spirit, He is the Spirit of light. He will just brood over you. Understanding will start coming. If you're not careful, if you're in a toilet, you might just scream, ah! Because people wonder what is happening. Because light, when light, my friend, when light comes, you can't keep quiet. You know, you hear a believer say, Pastor, I don't know what to pray about. It's because you are not meditating on anything. When you meditate on something, you will never lack what to pray about. I can never lack what to pray about. Why? I am meditating every day. Light is coming. Listen, when I lead you to pray, it's time I don't have, not prayer point. For today's prayer, the amount of prayer points I have for the school and teachers, I have about 26 of them. 26 prayer points. Light. As I'm writing, more is coming. As I'm writing, more is coming. You know, when I show you how I prepare my morning prayers, if you say I prepare my morning prayers, I have the prayer point session. Then inside of it, I have brackets. I bracket it. You know, inside, I will bracket it. The one I bracket is more than even the one I've given you to call. Because the thing is just flowing. I can't stop. So I start bracketing it because as I'm writing, I'm praying. You know, rakapadayada, light has come. Like this scripture that we're using some days ago, Mark 10:27. Jesus was blunt. No chance at all. If you think you can pull it off by yourself, every chance in the world, if you let God do it. I gave you thunder, I submit to the grace of God. I yield myself. Oh Lord, do it your own way in my life. But for me, I began to declare, God has done it. God has done it. That I declare my heart cried this morning. God has done it. Concerning my children, God has done it. I began to. Why? Because light, my friend, this is 1 year. Listen, this is 1 year. You must sit with the word of God. Meditate. I pray for you this year by meditation. You will rise to greater heights in the name of Jesus. I say you will rise to greater heights in the name of Jesus. I always jokingly say, if anybody inherits my iPad, you see my iPad? If anybody inherits it, they have a mine. My iPad. If any of my children that will inherit it, they can write books and books. The books I couldn't write, they will write it. If they inherit my iPad. Because of what is inside here. You see here? I got this with my life. Come here. Meditate. I pray for you in this season. The light of God's word will shine in your heart in the name of Jesus. I say to shine in your heart in the name of Jesus. I say to shine in your heart in the name of Jesus. Psalm 39 verse 3 says, my heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. When the fire burned, I couldn't keep quiet. Then my mouth started speaking. My heart was burning. My heart was burning. And I can't keep quiet because when your heart burns, your mouth must open. If your heart is burning and your mouth is closed, there will be trouble. You might be consumed from the inside. So when your heart is burning, my friend, you must say something. Why? Because at that moment, anything you declare becomes a law in the realms of the spirit. That is what my tongue is saying, is as a result of the fire that I've been acquired inside by meditation. So while I was meditating, fire erupted. Fire erupted. Shalaga, marada, lega, gada, gada. So many years ago, when we moved into the second property, we moved into where we're renting from. And, you know, I was just in the office one of the days. And I just was going through scriptures. I dwelt on that scripture for a couple of minutes. As I was dwelling in it, light came. The Holy Ghost said to me, go to the auditorium. Go and call forth the property that I prepared for the church before the foundation of the world. I entered the auditorium. Because light, fire was already burning in my heart. I didn't even pray up to 5 minutes. I declare, wherever the property is, in the name of Jesus, I command you to manifest now. Less than an hour, the agents called me. Pastor, I think the property you're looking for, I know where it is. Follow me. He said, it's just that there are people occupying it, but I think I have an idea. So which means, by meditation, fire came, I declared, the man, whatever was covering him, the agent, it left. He was able to see what I was seeing. There are many of you, the man that will marry you, your meditation is stopping him. Your lack of meditation. And now, you've done Brazilian hair. You've done whatever nail you call it. And the man refused to come because why? What will remove the veil in the man's heart, my friend, is not Brazilian hair. There must be some proceeding fire. That whatever was covering the man, whatever was saying that the man will never marry you, that in the place of revelation, in a place of meditation, light comes. You declare, my husband, wherever you are, come forth. If he was outside South Africa, he will find the nearest plane and jump in and start coming. Why? Because when light burns, you declare, it becomes a law in the realms of the spirit. Oh, you think saloon is where your husband is? He's not there. I repeat, it's not there. Oh, my husband is in coffee. Coffee doesn't have your husband. It can't have your husband. I always say to my wife, whatever prayer you prayed, you people must really consult with her, seriously. There was some prayer she prayed. And when I began to listen to her, she would tell you how she prayed and she gave towards it. Because for some reason, that pastor had been trying to get me to come preach in his church. I said, I don't preach in people's churches. Leave me alone. But for that day, he now came and said, he had been inviting me to preach in his church. I refused. Now he came and said, I want you to come and do all night service for me. Can you imagine? You don't preach in normal service. You go. I said, okay, no, I'll follow you. I said, maybe at least he will leave me alone after this journey. I didn't know that her prayer was moving me. The prayer was moving me. I arrived. As she started interpreting, I saw a wife. Oh, I said, this is the damsel. I said, this is the damsel. Now I know why I came here. This damsel brought me here. Your business breakthrough is in the place of meditation. As we go home this morning, sometimes when you take the word and meditate on it, it erupts like fire on your inside. And when you open your mouth and speak it, it terminates whatever it is was troubling you. In John chapter 11, they told Jesus that Lazarus was dead. He stayed some days longer. What was he doing? I don't know. I just want to safely assume that probably he was meditating, asking God, are we raising Lazarus or not? Should I send a message that they should bury him? And I believe when light came that yes, we're raising Lazarus, he still has an agenda in the gospel. He still needs to fund the ministry. There are so many crusades he needs to fund. So go wake him up. Jesus stood up and told his disciples, our friend is sleeping. Let's go and wake him up. You don't speak like that if not by revelation. He said, our friend is speaking. Let's go and wake him up. The disciples looked at him because they don't have the kind of light he had. They asked him, if a man is sleeping, when he's tired of sleeping, will he not wake up himself? Jesus said, no, you guys are missing it. The man is dead. Let's go and wake him up. I could imagine them whispering to each other, this guy must be drunk or some things. They followed him. Why? Light. It's a realm where you're no longer using the word of faith. You're using rhema faith. Two levels of realms of faith. Word of faith, rhema faith. What is word of faith? Word of faith, quickly, is when you take a scripture from the Bible and you declare it in faith, it will happen. For example, Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent forth his word healed them, delivered them from destruction. You can take that scripture and just declare. Believe God for the person's healing. Release your faith. Bam. It may take some time, but the healing will take place. But there's a rhema of faith where you sit on the same scripture, you fellowship on it, light comes, then you arrive to the person and declare, your body is healed now because he sent forth his word. His word healed them, delivered them from destruction. Instanta, the body will be healed. Why? Because rhema faith is a faith that comes from the place of meditation. I give you an example. When the church was acquiring this place, you can rise on your feet. Let's rise and we're going to pray. Let me give you that example. When we're trying to acquire this place, when we announced it, almost half of the church left. Yeah? I said, but we just announced the vision. People took off. And it looks like it will never be a reality. And those times, I entered into some times of dangerous prayers in terms of, you know, releasing my faith. So it just has to happen. I start praying sometimes from 12 midnight or 1 a.m., depending on when the Holy Ghost wakes me up. I'm finished sometimes by 5 a.m., past 4 a.m. When I start praying in the complex where I live, you know, I will pray. The house will become too small. I walk out of the house. I walk on the streets. Sometimes then when I exceed beyond four, some people who are running, when they see me, they just stay away because they don't want, they're wondering, I'm wearing a short, a boxer short, I'm wearing my, you know that vest that papas wear. You know the vest, the white vest. And I'm ragadabara gadaya yakatabara and I'm katoska parata kataba le katoska pataya katabra gadaya me kata katabarada parakataskataya paloska pata. In one of the days, as I was, the Holy Ghost said to me, clearly, go open 1 Samuel chapter 14. Start reading. I moved, came back to the house. Quickly, opened my Bible. I started reading 1 Samuel. I read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. By the time I got to verse 6, boom, it's like light opened up. Put it on the screen for me. And how does this concern possessing a property? Rema faith. And Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of the Philistine, of the uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. The Holy Ghost said to me, what I'm about to do, you don't need crowd. I can do it with crowd. I can do it with few. So stop worrying about those who left. Relax. It will be done. Now, keep prophesying over the property. It will become a reality. I screamed, God will do it. Either by a few or by many. God, I ran to my wife, woke her up. Sweetheart, wake up, wake up, wake up. God has given us a word. The property is finally ours. God will do it. Whether by many or by a few. God will do it. Whether by many or by a few. God, it became my prayer. In under 1 week, the keys of this place was given to us. And the rest is history. Friends, there is a level of victory that is depending on your meditation. There is where God wants to take you to. Many of you seated here, you are millionaires. The idea for that business that will give you that breakthrough is in the place of meditation. The opportunities is in the place of meditation. That by the time you sit a bit, try it. Give yourself these next 7 days. Say, I'm going to try what Pastor Joseph has said. That every lunch hour, we're on fasting, so which makes it good for you. You take your bottle of water. You look for one corner. Get one of the scriptures I give in the morning prayers. Sit on it. Look, put your eyes on that scripture. Look at it again. Look at it again. Look at it again. Look at it again. You finish for that day. It looks like nothing happens. Return the next day. Watch how your life will move. Listen, friends. We're in a time where the things that God wants to do for you and I, eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for you. And I pray for you in this season, you will come into it in the name of Jesus. I say you will come into it in the name of Jesus. As you give yourself to study, let eyes open in the name of Jesus. As you give yourself to study, let your eyes open in the name of Jesus. As you give yourself to meditation, let light flood your heart in the name of Jesus. Receive light in the name of Jesus. Let your amen come like thunder. Give the Lord your praise this morning. God is calling you to a deeper level. God is calling you to a higher dimension. God is calling you to a higher dimension. For children cannot take inheritance unless they mature. It's your season for greater testimony. I say it's your season for greater victory. It's your season for greater open doors. It's your season for greater breakthrough. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.